And our idea was that we will offer multi-touch attribution based on website user behavior. So whereas the conversion credit is distributed depending on the actions that each website like user did on the website. So let's say if the person only spent 1 second on your website, this website visit should not get any value at all, even if it was the last channel like before the conversion.
You're listening to E-commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Imagine your long-awaited order just got delivered. You open up the package, and as luck would have it, your new shirt is in the wrong size. So what do? You open up your laptop, you begin a return, maybe even exchange, but all you see is a customer service phone number. And if you're like me, in a situation like this, you really don't want to talk to anybody, let alone write an email. So what do? You don't have days, let alone a week or more, to wait for a response. The ideal next step is to process your own return online, drop it off at a nearby pickup location, and move on with your life. And this is what a hassle-free return process is supposed to be like. And it is a reality for brands who are powered by Loop Returns. Now, Loop is the only returns platform that helps Shopify brands to create an ideal post-purchase experience. And they don't just handle returns. They also make it easy for Shopify brands to incentivize exchanges so you can grow your business and make happier customers. You can find out why over 1,600 of Shopify's biggest brands like Allbirds, Chubby Shorts, and Patagonia, and so many more all choose Loop. 100%. Go check them out today at loopreturns.com and learn more. Well, hey there, this is Steve Hutt here. I'm a success manager from Shopify, and welcome back to the sixth season of E-commerce Fastlane. Now, I know there's plenty of podcast choices out there, both in Shopify e-commerce, direct-to-consumer, marketing, branding. I mean, just the gamut of Shopify kind of podcasts are out there. But just the fact that you're here today certainly means the world to me, and I know it does for my featured guest. Just as a reminder, new episodes, they're released twice weekly, and they're available from all your favorite podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. We're also streaming live now on Amazon Music and on YouTube. So if you consume your podcasts on those networks, you can go check them out. Now, today's episode, my guest is Pavel Petrinich, who is the Chief Revenue Officer and co-founder of a company called Segment Stream, and they're at segmentstream.com. Now, what they are, they're definitely a fast-growing marketing analytics company. They help Shopify e-commerce brands and other brands, too, that are not on Shopify, but they really do help drive more sales by providing real-time attribution insights. The challenge we have right now, and every brand wants it, is this kind of multi-touch attribution. And the challenge is that most marketing people, unfortunately, are dealing with this kind of mixed marketing model and or as low as it can be. They're just doing a blended ROAS. It's very, very scary. And that's not what the show is about today. Today is going to open up your mind a lot about conversion modeling, its uniqueness to the marketplace, and why a lot of brands are winning right now with this sort of mindset and this sort of technology. So hi, Pavel. Welcome to E-commerce Fastlane.
Hi. How are you?
Doing excellent. Thank you so much for recording today. I know you're in London. I'm in Vancouver in British Columbia, and so we're significant time zone difference of 8 hours, but I appreciate you coming on late and getting this recorded. I think you have a very, very unique platform. I'd argue a first mover advantage in what it is that you guys are doing with conversion modeling. It's very unique. I think attribution tools, just starting from GA onward, it's very interesting where things are changing a lot in the marketplace about this attribution window and trying to attribute to the success and failures of campaigns. This conversion modeling you do, I want to unpack this today. So this is really exciting to have you here. I want to talk maybe on a high level first. I know you solve multiple problems when it comes to D2C brands, but just love to hear it in your own words about maybe specifically the kind of problems you're solving today for brands.
Yeah, sure. So maybe just a quick recap. So I would say the primary problem that we solve for D2C and e-commerce brands is like marketing measurement in general, because most of the people, they of course heard about multi-touch attribution, incrementality testing, and other marketing measurement methodologies. But to be honest, right now, it's just becomes very, very difficult to really track the whole customer journey down to the purchase. And this is actually the problem why like all the multi-touch attribution models, they do not work nowadays. And I would say this is like why we exist. So we help brands to solve this like marketing attribution, like marketing measurement problem. But as we like started to develop SegmentStream, we also found another niche, another like problem that we right now successfully solving is that helping ad platforms to learn. Because ad platforms today, they also rely on the correct attribution data to train their own machine learning algorithms, such as Meta, Google, or like TikTok. So they all ask you to send some feedback in the form of conversions, so they could understand and find correlations between audience which converts and audience that does not convert. And this is very important to provide real-time, high-quality signals about the value of each click. And with all what's happening in the attribution like industry, this is very challenging nowadays.
So it's very interesting. So you're suggesting that right now, currently, most brands are just sending conversion data back to Meta, Google, and TikTok. But you're suggesting now that SegmentStream has the opportunity and is training almost Facebook about the non-converted customers. You know, I'd argue that 98 out of 100 people that come to a website are non-converting, and they may not even signed up to a newsletter yet. Mm-hmm. So you're suggesting that your solution is sending that information back to these ad platforms.
Yeah. And maybe I will just provide some like real life example. So imagine that your e-commerce website, that you're selling high value products. Let's say you're selling bikes and the average bike can cost, I don't know, $1,000. And usually if you want to purchase such expensive item like a bike, you most likely will not buy immediately. So probably you want to do your research, compare with like other brands and like offers on the market. But then eventually, perhaps after 2 or 3 weeks, you may finally decide to make a purchase. But the problem, for example, with Facebook is that with Facebook, you have 7-day attribution window. Mm. And it means that if the person did not convert during the initial 7 days after the click, Facebook will not receive any information whether this click was available, even if it actually generated initial interest in the particular bike, which you then finally purchased. So, and this is like what's going on in the industry is that first of all, there is a huge delay between when the ad click is happening and when the actual purchase is attributed, because people usually do not buy in real time. They need some time to make a decision. But also it's becoming even a bigger problem with different cookie tracking restrictions, such as ITP. And people simply use multiple browsers and devices during customer journey.
That's true.
And we see like every time that customers, they can invest a lot of money like on Facebook, mm-hmm. but at the same time, almost no conversions sent back to Facebook, because people then will buy from other traffic sources, mm-hmm. or it simply will not be attributed to this initial click. So, and I would say our approach is a bit different. And this is like why we actually decided to rename ourselves from attribution to conversion modeling. So, because initially what we called ourselves like a predictive attribution, that we use machine learning to like predict what will be the value for this particular traffic source. But then we understood that what we're doing is completely different from other multi-touch attribution providers out there. So we decided to actually call ourselves to be relevant to what we actually do. And what we do is like we model or predict conversions. So and you can think about this like attribution, but in reverse. So instead of waiting for the actual conversion to happen, we will evaluate each website visit individually right after the person like visited the website. And if they did not buy, we still will evaluate whether this website visit was available for your business. And of course, so you mentioned that like 98% of website visits, they like do not happen. They do not end with a conversion.
Correct.
And but it doesn't mean that they are really like worthless. And most probably these people like will eventually buy later. But yeah, the problem is that you need some tool to separate all these valuable website visits from non-valuable ones. And this is where conversion modeling steps in. So you can think about this like a scoring technology where you score every website visit. But the idea is that you do not create like some human-based scoring rule, and you like use the power of machine learning. And luckily, right now, we live in the world where we can really rely on machine learning. Mm-hmm. And as you probably seen like with ChatGPT and all other technologies, it's really becoming powerful. So, and this is why we see the future in it.
It's interesting you mentioned about the AI tools. Definitely, it's the hottest topic right now. I know there's even, I've been interviewing some partners, a little of a side note here, some partners that do live chat services, and now they're connecting to ChatGTP and really helping agents reply to and or crawling fax pages and stuff, using some of their software and crawling fax pages so that, you know, agents are able to reply to comments and have resources available to them quickly. So it's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I also just, you know, just before recording too, I also decided, because this conversion modeling, just using that term was new to me. And with, you know, ChatGTP being hot, I thought that I would double check to see through. I use a tool called Lex at lex.page. But in any case, I typed it in there and just said, like, what is conversion modeling? And this is exactly what you've said. I think it's a process of analyzing the customer data to identify key factors that influence the likelihood of a visitor to make a purchase. It involves analyzing the customer demographics, the behavior, and the purchase history to create a model that predicts the likelihood of a user converting. This data can then be used to develop targeted marketing campaigns and optimize the user experience to increase the chances of a successful conversion. I agree with all of that, because based on what you're telling me now, you really are closing the loop, so to speak. You're not only just sending conversion data over, you know, through, well, Meta's got the conversions API, but now with your solution, now you're giving all data back over to them and really training that model to come up with better prospecting audiences to really find the best customer. You're still spending money on the ad platforms, but you're spending it more intelligently, I believe, because you're actually talking about and sharing website visitors who didn't convert, but they have some desire for that product.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the idea is that, yeah, as you mentioned, that only like 1% of people usually convert. And while if you use like modeled conversions that basically represent all these high value website visits, you will be able to amplify your Google or Meta, like Facebook ads algorithms, with up to 20 times signals that will help them to learn much, much better and faster. And I would say, like, especially for smaller, like Shopify stores, this can be a really like powerful solution, because if you don't have, so let's say with Facebook ads, there is a requirement. If you like launch a new campaign, you need to have at least like 40 conversions per week to be able to really start using this automated bidding. And if you don't have this like 40 conversions per week per campaign, then most probably you will just face like limited learning issues that will prevent you from effective like media buying. And while if you use conversion modeling, you probably will have not just like 40 conversions per week, you probably will have like 400 conversions per week. And of course, like model conversions, they do not equal like real purchases, but they still provide Facebook with enough information whether they need to target like particular audience and stop targeting another audience that usually do not like correlate with these high value clicks. And this is like really powerful technology. And this is why I would say like Facebook and Google, they really start to invest in this like partnering with third party solutions that can provide these external signals so their own platforms could perform better.
Yeah, this is really exciting stuff. I'm so glad to have you on today. I mean, like I said, part of my day job at Shopify really is to help brands to grow and scale and share some opportunities that are out there in definitely in marketing technology. And so this is a really new concept for me. And I've been in commerce for almost 20 years and startup and exit and the whole thing. So I kind of get it. And this is really exciting that I want. That's why I'm recording today. I really want to get this out into the wild and share that the fact there are these opportunities available to brands, train these AIs and these machine learning algorithms to really amp up your conversion potential. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about your origin story. I like to talk about usually at the beginning of the show, but I just got so excited about wanting to talk about this stuff. You know, maybe you can maybe just do the TLDR about like how you met your co-founder and just kind of like how you fit and how did you decide to even build this? It's just, it's exciting to me how people decide to put their flag in the sand in this space and build a platform. So I just love to hear that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So actually, like, we have three co-founders. So, but initially we had actually two co-founders. So me and Konstantin, who is the CEO of SegmentStream. And I met him on LinkedIn. So I just called, emailed him and sent a cold LinkedIn message, asked like whether he wants to be a developer for my startup ideas that I had. And the startup idea was in like website personalization space.
Wow.
That basically the idea that to like personalize website and like interactions based on user like behavior, based on different audience traits that we can analyze. And this was kind of a very interesting idea, but I'm not a developer myself. So this is like why I wanted to find some person. And like, luckily, my cold email, like my cold LinkedIn message worked. So we met in person and nice. We really started to work with this idea and developing this product in website personalization space. And this is how we actually met our third co-founder. He was originally our client. So he was a digital marketing director at like fashion e-commerce startup. And he really liked overall like what we're doing, what we're trying to solve. And this is sometimes like you meet these customers or like employees like who start to act like co-founders. And eventually they become these co-founders. So when you can sit like at night discussing how to improve your product, even though they do not work in your company. And while working in this like website personalization company, we started to constantly hear about the attribution problem from our customers who were like leading e-commerce businesses. And we started to understand that like what we're doing with personalization is kind of micro optimization rather than like macro optimization. So we understood that, well, if you have quite good website and you like fairly known e-commerce brand, you cannot really do many things to improve your conversion rate. So of course, there are some like, I don't know, 10, 15 things that you can implement to improve your conversion rate. But then you start to fight for like little percentages. And sometimes it's even hard to measure these like little improvements.
Right.
So, and we really started to see that there is a huge opportunity in this like marketing measurement attribution space where companies invest like millions of dollars per month, but they still do not know how like the impact of this advertising. Also, like another thing is that while working in this like website personalization space, we like struggled a bit that this business was not that scalable. So because kind of clients, they ask you, okay, what ideas or advices do we have to increase conversion rate for their own like specific website? So, and this business became half of like software and half of professional services and consulting, which is not really scalable. So, and then once we started to hear this like from our customers that they're dealing with attribution problems, some of them actually asked us like if we can help them to build something better than last click attribution. So we had some initial trust from the clients that with whom we already worked with. And like we were interested in this topic. So we decided, well, let's try. And we signed a few like custom projects and with the idea that we will build and like propose something better than last click. And our idea was that we will offer multi-touch attribution based on website user behavior. So whereas the conversion credit is distributed depending on the actions that each website like user did on the website. So let's say if the person only spent 1 second on your website, this website visit should not get any value at all, even if it was the last channel, like, I don't know, before the conversion. Or another like example is that if, let's say, we see a really, really high like engaged website visit in the beginning of the like funnel, then this website visit should get more conversion credit, even though that the final conversion happened afterwards from another traffic source. So this was like the initial idea is that how can we use information about like this first party data about user behavior to start solving this attribution problem. So this was like the very, very first beginning of SegmentStream. And we didn't really use machine learning back then. So we started to create some custom scoring algorithms that, oh, like, so we just came up with some formula that if people at least, I don't know, 2 minutes on the website and added something to cart, then we can think that this website visit was valuable. So this is just an example. But then we understood that it's just impossible to really find the correlations like manually between specific actions on the website and actual conversions. And I will give you also a funny example is that we thought that add to cart event plays a huge role in driving conversions. But then we found that if the people add too many items to the cart, they actually the conversion probability becomes lower. And if the more, so because they might use the add to cart functionality
as a wish list.
Yeah. So, and we like, well, like it doesn't work. We need to come up with a better solution. And that's why we decided to start using cloud machine learning. So, and this is how we actually started. So when we started measuring the probability to convert for each website visit, this was like the very, very first beginning of SegmentStream as we exist today. But then we had another big, big, huge frustration. So we kind of spent a few years doing this, but still we did not really see that much difference with last click. Another funny thing is that even when we compare the results, like last click versus first click, we also didn't see that much difference. And this is like when we understood that the problem is not in the attribution logic. The problem is that we simply cannot see the like full customer journey. And if we can only, let's say, see one or two website visits before the conversion, no matter whether we will use simple last click attribution, first click, or some sophisticated data-driven model based on machine learning, the results will be the same. And we really started like to think, okay, what we can do about this? Because we cannot really track like this full like path to conversion, and no one can. So if you use two different browsers or two different devices to visit the website and you are not authenticated on both of them, it's simply impossible. And even for Google Analytics, despite they know everything about website visitors, it will be two different unique visitors. And this was a problem for us. So we understood that, well, we will not try to solve this kind of customer journey tracking problem because it's just unsolvable. Instead, we wanted to, like, and we came up with a workaround. So workaround in our case is that we started to do the attribution in reverse. So instead of waiting for this conversion to happen, we started to evaluate each website visit immediately. So it means if then due to cross-browser, cross-device user behavior or like other like tracking restrictions, if for these reasons we will not be able to see the conversions that will actually happen in the future, this initial click that we just evaluated, like basically receives value, even if the conversion will not happen at all during the same cookie. So, and this was a game changer for us because now we started to finally see huge differences, especially when analyzing the impact of upper funnel prospecting campaigns that previously did not get any credit at all. But another thing is that if previously we saw that, oh, like half of sales attributed to direct none, now we started to really see what drives this like direct non-sales, which traffic sources actually impact these sales that then will be attributed to organic, to brand campaigns, and to direct non-traffic source. So this is like how we started with SegmentStream.
Thank you for sharing that. It's nice to have full context, about kind of the just the process that you've gone through and just in nonstop kind of iterating over time based on, you know, the technology that's available, but then just forward thinking. You know, it reminds me about some of the problems with like on-page personalization. You use a lot of words that I find interesting because a lot of brands, we bring up this topic of the known versus the unknown site visitor. So the known visitor would be someone who has kind of the logged in experience. So they've either signed up to a newsletter. And so there's something where they're on the site anyways, and we know who they are specifically through a manual opt-in. And the challenge from an on-page personalization, like on an active customer, known or unknown, is trying to create the utopia is a one-on-one personalized experience for that particular user. And the logged in experience is pretty easy. We call zero party data, meaning like, you know, or even first party data. Zero party meaning they've given us information about their likes and their wants and desires, and they pay them a pet person. I have a cat and I've already bought this kitty litter. And so we know when you show up, we can create an environment. My question to you about this, and I call this PII, this personally identifiable information, but can you talk about your platform as it relates to the known versus the unknown site visitor? I know we're sending back, is the unknown site visitor, that is the information, the pipeline that we're sending back to Meta and Google and TikTok. That's non-conversion data going back to them. And then the conversion data would be the known customer. Just want to make sure I get my language correct.
Yeah. I can understand. So you're absolutely correct. So, and of course, there's a big problem in like, especially like in e-commerce, that at least before the person made the his or her like first purchase, they usually do not authorize on the website. And you know, basically, you do not know about the actual preferences, what they purchased. And of course, you cannot send like any information back to ad platforms about what you can track with like zero party data. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and I would say here, the advantage of like conversion modeling is that you can really start understanding without even knowing this particular website, like, or like person, and what they like or what is their preference. You can still understand if Meta, let's say, or Google should bring and like to your website more people like this one that was on your website and did not buy. So the idea is that when you can measure the impact of contribution of each particular website visit into the future conversion, and you can share this information with Google or Meta, they can also start finding these people on their own site. So Facebook, for example, or Google, they can know a lot of things about each particular individual. And if, let's say, for example, we will provide information that, oh, this particular website, let's say, even with Facebook. So we do not use like personal information. We use information about click ID to send the feedback that, oh, this click was valuable. So, and this is like what we do. When the click is happening and the website visit, like basically doesn't end with a conversion, we will still send the value back to Facebook about this particular click. And then on their own site, like Facebook, they will find the correlation between people that they know a lot of things about with this information about like that whether this click was valuable. And the idea is that by doing this mapping, they can start finding on their site much more people that will eventually buy on your website. I don't know if it's like helpful.
Yeah, no, it's very helpful. I want to talk like more specifically now with like actual Shopify brands, because there's going to be like 40 some thousand people listening to this episode right now. And, you know, they obviously run a Shopify store or soon want to. There's a lot of enterprise people on the Shopify Plus side of the business too that are listening to this recording. So I just want to know like what's the process for someone to want to use SegmentStream, and they appreciate what you're saying right now about conversion modeling is likely right for them. Like, are all brands a good fit? Or is there any kind of like, I'm just trying to figure out your sweet spot the most impactful.
Yeah. So I would say our like primary audience is businesses that sell like high value products. And this is typically the businesses that struggles the most with attribution. So if, let's say, you sell something cheap where most of the conversion happen immediately, you usually do not struggle with like volume of conversions or with the sales cycles. And you can like just use last click and you will be fine. But if, let's say, you sell something that costs more than $100, and where people like they need to visit your website at least 2 times before they buy, then probably you started to think already about multi-touch attribution or other tools. So most likely you like the businesses that already understand that they are not happy with last click, for them, the conversion modeling can be a good solution. Another thing is that, of course, like as conversion modeling, so we rely on machine learning and to train accurate machine learning model. And by the way, like we train machine learning model individually for each website. So it's not one model that fits all websites. We will take each specific website and we'll create a custom machine learning model for this website just to ensure that the model will be very accurate. Mm. Because otherwise, this whole concept doesn't make sense if you cannot build a model that you can trust. So that's why we ask for at least 10 conversions per day. Okay. So basically 300 conversions per month. And if you have like less conversions, we cannot guarantee. So we can try, of course, but we cannot guarantee that we will be able to create a ML model. So this is like some minimum requirements. And of course, if customers don't have 10 conversions per day yet, we just advise them to use some micro conversions. And while I mentioned that it's not that good solution, it's still better than just relying on purchase events. So it's still better for optimization.
Right.
And so I would say this is like the primary requirements.
Now, online shopping can feel risky for some customers. You know, imagine if your order arrives in the wrong size. This totally happened to me recently, or in the wrong color, or it just doesn't look right on you. And there really can be hundreds of reasons why you may want to return a product, and I totally get it. And that's why Loop Returns makes it easy for Shopify brands to encourage exchanges rather than refunds. And we all know that returns don't equal goodbyes, they equal new hellos. And Loop really has a slick process to make it easy for a customer to have a fast return or exchange. Now see why thousands of Shopify brands like Pit Viper, Somersault, and Princess Polly, they all choose Loop as their return partner. Now is the time to improve your post-purchase experience. So go check them out today at loopreturns.com. Now, what's the onboarding process going to look like then? So if someone decides, yes, this is right for me, is there like a private API key? Is there some kind of like, I'm just curious, JavaScript? I have no idea what's happening in the Shopify store and how you connect everything.
I would say the idea is that we decided to not create our own like JavaScript tracker. So we do not ask clients to implement yet another analytics solution on the website because most of them already have Google Analytics. Or some version of Google Analytics, whether it's like Universal Analytics, which will be soon deprecated, or GA4 or GA360.
Right.
And we will take the data that they already track on this website, and we will use this data for our machine learning purposes. And of course, if we see that, like you only track three events, and it might be not enough for machine learning model, we will ask you to start tracking additional events in your GA, not in second stream. And the beauty of this approach, it means that you can get started really quickly. Sometimes, especially if you use GA4, you don't even need to involve developers or put any JavaScript on your website at all, because you can simply export the data from GA4 into some BigQuery data warehouse. And we can connect to this data set and use it for our machine learning purposes. And we have like multiple Shopify customers that implemented Segment Stream just like in 1 week. While in terms of connecting to the ad platforms, it's super straightforward process because the APIs, so we have like API server to server APIs, both with Meta, with Facebook. Soon we will add another like server to server API connection with TikTok, where we can send this model conversions back to ad platforms. A lot of ad platforms, they provide APIs to import some information.
I see.
For example, you can import information about ad cost, clicks, impressions, but only a few ad platforms actually support something similar as like conversions API in Facebook. So where you can actually send custom conversion event using server to server integration. And this is why sometimes we just wait until some ad platform will start supporting this functionality.
Interesting. You know, it reminds me of a conversation I had recently with a merchant that they were concerned about, and this is a known issue for a lot of reasons, about the data being piped from Shopify to these ad platforms, GA included, and everybody's taking attribute. Everyone's kind of grading their own homework, so to speak. And there's at least 10% difference between what Shopify is showing versus maybe what Meta is showing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we're forced to have to use some tools like server-side tracking tools that make GA the source of truth, because that's really kind of how you connect. It's GA is the source of truth.
Yeah.
And so knowing that, like a tool like littledata.io, server-side tracking, or Elevar at getelevar.com. Mm-hmm. I usually recommend one of these tools. I say, hey, you know what? Yeah, it's $100 a month or whatever it is. It's like, but you need it because you want to have absolute confidence that GA is absolutely correct, because that is your source of truth. And, you know, if you start looking at the analytics in Shopify and then you start looking over here, why are they different, Steve? And I have these conversations all day long. When you have one of these tools, either Little Data or Get Elevar connected, then that conversation goes away, and then it opens up things to have, because I don't want a 10% differential in GA versus what Shopify is reporting, because that in alone is enough to make a difference, not having accurate data. So I just wanted your feedback on the server-side tracking to make GA the true source of truth.
Yeah, actually. So this is something that we also like usually see, like that clients, they might see the difference between GA and other tools. And the problem is that GA is not a source of truth, because like the only source of truth is like your CRM or your EP, where you see the real sales. And especially with GDPR and cookie consent right now, even sometimes you do not see in GA like 30% of conversions and website visits. But people still use GA because like otherwise they don't have another option. So, and this is like the problem, that some like these differences, they can happen, but these are not really crucial, because what matters is not that you will see in your marketing analytics tool that, oh, like we generated exactly 100 and I don't know, 36 conversions. What's important is to finding the difference and like compare different traffic sources, how they compare to each other. So even if you will have 10% less data in total, you still will probably have the same distribution of conversions, of the like REST conversions that you can track. So, and this is like, and my advice is that sometimes people, they spend too much time on solving the problems that not really problems. So you still, like as a marketer, when you will analyze your traffic source performance, you will not measure the hard numbers like that, oh, this traffic source generated, I don't know, 11 conversions while this one, I don't know, 13 conversion. So you will measure the percentages, you will measure metrics such as ROAS, which is also like metrics that are calculated. Mm-hmm. So, and this is what's the most important. So while in terms of the actual like service to server like integration, like there are like multiple reasons why clients can see problems. And yeah, we just have some like guide, like top 10 most common reasons why you don't track all your conversions, or, like why all these conversions lost. And usually when we just start onboarding of a new client, we just go through this like checklist and ensure that everything is correct on their side. Mm. And sometimes we just see that there might be problems with like payment gateways where they can, or like there might be some duplication of conversions or some conversions just not tracked at all. And yeah, but there are like ways and like workarounds and solutions how to solve this.
Another area that comes up, a lot of brands like the predictable revenue that comes with having a subscription business. Can you talk a bit about maybe how SegmentStream fits into subscription box type companies? Like, for example, I have a Japanese snack box company called Boxu, for example. And so they have this recurring revenue that keeps coming in. I mean, and I guess I'm going to ask the question, like, is it treated the same way? Like, you know, if it's a one-time visitor and then we'll go into our retention marketing efforts to get the second and third sale, that's a different conversation. But does your tool play nicely in the subscription business of an e-commerce brand?
Yeah. I would say, so there is like two answers. There is like technological answer, like whether like we can, let's say, predict that this person will become a repeatable customer or what will be the value of this particular website visitor that did not even make their first purchase, what will be the like potential like lifetime value. But of course, this information, while it can be like predicted, I don't think that this is like really like crucial information, mm-hmm. like for like marketing, like attribution needs. And I will explain why. Because for example, the job of a marketing is to drive leads, or in this case, drive initial like first sales. And the person, they might not, let's say, make a repeatable purchase because maybe they didn't like the delivery. Maybe they did not like the product itself. Maybe they just only wanted this product for one time. Or maybe the offer was too good, like to be true, and they decided, well, I just want to try it because it just, I don't know, 50% off. But they don't want to buy it for the full price. So there are multiple reasons why people will not buy a second or third time. And it's not correct to blame marketing that is responsible for driving like initial conversions, like the first sales to the website. Or for example, let's say I will give you like another example, because we also work with some like B2B businesses, mm-hmm. and they like, oh, we want to build a model that will predict that this traffic source will result in actual closed deal. But their sales cycle is like 6 months. So I don't even know why they want to do this, because okay, maybe after 6 months, like, or yeah, like we will actually get the data that this click resulted in like in a sale. But how this information will be valuable? What will decisions they make? And also, usually the data about actual closed deals is much lower than about leads. And so, yeah, and as my example with e-commerce here, also lead could be great, but the salesperson could deliver a bad demo. So yeah, while marketing is responsible for driving this like upper funnel like conversions. So yeah, this is why we mostly suggest to either train a machine learning model on the like actual purchase event, or for example, we can train machine learning model on like delivered orders that were actually completed and not canceled. So something like this. But in terms of like predicting the like the lifetime value, I don't think it's good, I would say, solution when you do these predictions based on your existing customer base that already like paying customers. But when we evaluating 98% of website visits that did not buy, then most probably we just asking for too much. So, and instead we just want to, we better predict what is the probability that this person will convert. And yeah. So I would say this is like my answer.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. No, thank you so much for that. I just want to get some clarity just because it seems that predictable revenue that can come out of subscriptions is important to brands. But at the end of the day, you know, it's the same website visitor that's a potential conversion. So a conversion, great, goes through. Non-conversion still goes over there. They're still training the model to find that next customer. And then whatever retention strategies are internal to avoid churn on the subscription companies, then that's kind of on them for other solutions. So I want to maybe go into a story now if we can. Like, I know I noticed you have quite a few case studies and, you know, there's a lot of notable logos of some really decent direct-to-consumer brands. You do deal with a lot of other Shopify brands. Is there any that come to mind that you can, I mean, I see KitchenAid and L'Oreal and there's some massive multi-billion dollar brands that are connected to your platform, but I'm assuming there's lots of other kind of like mid-market Shopify brands that are using your platform. So is there anyone of note you can share publicly today?
Yeah. I would love to share a story of Casada. So they are like Shopify customer.
Okay.
And they produce and sell online pushchairs, car seats, high chairs. So they provide
baby
like
stuff.
Baby stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
And the problem is that when you want to buy like pushchair, this is not like immediate conversion that you're like, oh, I will buy it like immediately after the click. So, and especially this is like, because of this is like baby product and you want to really do your research before investing like money, then what we see is that there is a really long sales cycle. Even if we can track, let's say, the customer journey within one cookie, we saw that it takes like more than 2 weeks for the person to actually buy from the moment of the first click. And I'm talking only about one cookie. And while people can actually can use multiple browser devices or cookie can just expire or like renew. So, and this is like the problem that the real customer journey is much, much longer that we cannot see fully. So they really had two problems. So one problem was, of course, with proper measurement of upper funnel activities. Mm-hmm. So they launched different prospecting campaigns that did not result in many like attributed sales, and in the reality they did not get almost any sales at all for like prospecting campaigns, and they didn't have like the data to prove that they need to continue investing in these like prospecting activities.
Right.
Another problem I would say that the first problem is like marketing measurement, of course, and like better budget allocation decisions. But another problem was the biggest one is that they were not able to provide like Facebook algorithms, Google algorithms with enough data to train their algorithm. So we discussed this like this technology briefly today, but for them this was a big deal because they struggled, especially let's say when you promote like products on Google, you cannot really create a lot of unique things on Google. So you probably your competitors target the same keywords, you target the same audience, and there is no many ways to differentiate rather than just bidding higher. And if you cannot afford bidding higher, you need to like play smarter. And so I would say our solution, it really helped Casada to get much more sales from Google Ads simply because it started to provide more information about the value of each ad click. And it helped Google algorithms to learn much better, much faster, because now they don't need to wait until the person will eventually buy. They can provide this feedback in real time. And of course, with attribution, so if previously they saw that almost half of sales coming from like direct, organic, and brand, now they really started to see which prospecting activities generating sales impact.
What's interesting, thanks for sharing that. I was thinking too about the B2B market. So that's a really good case study on the B2C kind of direct to consumer side. What happens for B2B for your platform? Is it exactly the same kind of like cycles and can the same information?
I would say for them, the problem is much, much bigger than for e-commerce. So because typically the average B2B business, they have much less amount of conversions rather than e-commerce. The cost per click and cost per each conversion is much higher. Mm-hmm. While the like number, as I mentioned, like the number of conversions is much lower. And they really struggle to optimize or like run digital advertising because Facebook or Google, they still ask you for a minimum amount of conversions that you need to send back per week, per campaign level. And you simply don't have these conversions. And this is a problem that we had ourselves as Segment Stream, that like we B2B SaaS software and we don't have like thousands of conversions. But we still need some way to like optimize our ads and run like performance max campaigns on Google, meta campaigns. And we started to use model conversion for ourselves. And we started to really see a lot of difference. That basically, I would say this is like the reason why we still can afford buying advertising on Google or like Facebook, like profitably, because otherwise our cost per lead was like 2 times worse. So before we started to use SegmentStream, we actually wrote a detailed article how we use SegmentStream for ourselves, and okay. it will be relevant for any B2B client. But yeah, so long story short, and this is what we actually will cover on our joint webinar with Meta, like with Facebook next month, is how to optimize Meta campaigns when you're selling and promoting high value products or services, because this is like when you have the most of these challenges with small attribution window, long sales cycles, and like complex customer journeys.
Okay, I'll put a link to that. So if people are listening to that, it's in time for them to see it. If not, we'll update the show notes with a copy of the webinar on your show notes page so people can learn more about it. Because I think it's quite interesting. So I think there's a lot of people listening today that have, you know, high value customers, and, you know, and the average order value is high. I mean, half of Shopify is probably fashion, and knowing that, you know, the average cart size is going to be 150, 180 for sure on average.
Yeah.
And you know, gosh, I'm just looking at my own spending habits. So they're usually like just $300 or $400 every time you pull the trigger. Right. So, so this is good. It's good information that we have this. So we've kind of talked a lot of great information today. Like, I'm all in on this conversion modeling. I agree with you about this mix modeling kind of marketing mix is kind of like is really old school. I think incrementality is interesting, but and the multi-touch is definitely out of the equation. So I think you guys are definitely onto something. And I know the sweet spot of 300 or so maybe conversions a month would kind of make sense. Is there any other recommendations for like the type of customer that works well? Is it just broadly across the internet that anybody on Shopify that's at a certain size with a certain average order value, is your platform applicable for them?
Yeah, I would say like for us, we see that it makes sense usually when clients invest at least maybe $25,000 per month on digital advertising, like on Google Ads and Meta, because otherwise, okay, you can optimize something for 10, for 20, for 30%, but if you only invest $5,000 per month, probably it will not justify the time and like money investments in something like SegmentStream or another tool. So this is like we think that it makes sense after like some specific threshold. But in terms of other, as you mentioned, and as I mentioned as well, that this solution is not like, it's not a solution that everybody needs. It's a solution that will fit a business that has an attribution problem. So if they already understand that, well, we cannot really trust attribution, like last click attribution, or they may try some other MTA tools in the past and they were not happy. So this is where like it makes sense to consider. And these businesses are typically the companies, whether it's B2B or e-commerce, that sell like or promote high value products or services, where it's very difficult to immediately convert.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that makes sense. So I guess, you know, for me, I'd love to understand maybe just before we kind of wrap up for today about you're a North Star, I guess, for the remainder of 23. I mean, you very clearly are doing a lot of great things right now, and you're really being very impactful. Mm-hmm. Is there anything on the kind of public roadmap that you can talk about, just saying, hey, here's where we believe we're headed, and here's what we're working on over the next, I don't know, 6 to 8 months?
Yeah, I will give you like the information from the product standpoint and maybe from like the business standpoint. From the product standpoint, so we recently released value predictions. So for example, imagine that you're an e-commerce website where you have both cheap products and expensive products. So it's not enough to just predict what is the probability that the person will buy. You want to understand what will be the value of this conversion, whether the person will buy a cheap product or expensive product. So we recently released this like value prediction feature where we will predict not only the conversion probability, but what will be the value of this conversion. And this is really powerful for like e-commerce businesses. So we want to really like also start implementing it at scale. Another thing is that, so right now, like we can send our model conversion back to Meta to use it in Facebook ads, in Instagram. We can send it to Google Ads, so we could use it in YouTube and Google Ads as well. Also in like Campaign Manager and DV360. But this year we will add additional integrations. So TikTok is coming soon, then Snapchat. And we will see like about like Pinterest. I hope that they will just create and like develop the conversions API, because at the moment it's like limiting us. Mm-hmm. While I would say in terms of the business, the main problem nowadays is that I think it just like we need to keep educating the market and clients like about the marketing measurement in general, because we see that while, so there are a lot of vendors and they will all like kind of promise you that, oh, like we will like show you the true impact of your traffic source or like all your marketing investments. And sometimes it's very difficult for marketers to really like understand how these technologies actually work and how they differ from each other. So, and I think that what we started to do already is like creating this educational type of content around marketing measurement in general. Mm. It's like, what are the like four types of marketing measurement solutions exist in the industry? How they compare to each other? Whether you need to choose only one or you cannot solve all your problems with just one. And this is like where we want to keep educating the market about the attribution challenges, about the like cookieless world, about what is like first party data, third party cookies, how they differ. So there are a lot of information like buzzwords out there, mm-hmm. but sometimes like there is a little understanding of what's actually going on and how it works. Yeah. And so and maybe the last thing is that for us, like we like European company with like headquarters in London, and we usually not that well known in the US, while we have customers in the US that just found us through some podcast or content. Mm-hmm. So this year we want to just kind of build awareness for conversion modeling in the US market and like in Canada market, mm-hmm. just because sometimes we hear that, yeah, so there are like brands that you mentioned, like North Beam, Triple Whale, like and others, mm-hmm. but like we just understand that while they kind of become more and more popular, we understood that like if we will not build awareness for segments GM, the people can just simply miss the opportunity to use conversion modeling.
Yeah, no, this is great. Thanks for sharing that. I mean, that's the whole idea why I'm having you on the show today, because I really believe that your value prop is unique to the market. I just love the fact that you're all in on podcasting, on education. I think that's what the market needs right now. I mean, right now, kind of looming recession, retail is open, so maybe some e-commerce traffic and conversions are down for some brands, and they need to find creative ways of getting a lower CAC, a lower like acquisition cost. There's a lot of things on a lot of marketers' minds right now, and a lot of mandates from the C-suite of a lot of brands, yeah. and especially venture-backed companies. They're literally looking for more than just top-line revenue. They want true profit. Like they want profit on ad spend, and you know, forget ROAS. It's profit on ad spend now is kind of the going topic, and I believe your platform is the one that can really help train these ad platforms now.
Yeah. And maybe just sorry, like just the last thing is that the idea is that with conversion modeling, like with segment streaming, is just you can simply try. So
yeah,
like unlike many US customers or like sorry US vendors that typically require like annual commitment upfront or like annual like prepayment upfront, we do not ask for annual commitments. So we are happy to provide like 3-4 months trial if customers want to just try and see if it works for them. Mm-hmm. So, and this is kind of what we see works the best way, because for, like my philosophy as a founder is that there is kind of not a good solution just to lock in clients in annual contracts if they're not happy with the product. So I'd rather give trial to the customer, and if they happy with the product, they will renew anyway. Mm-hmm. If they're not happy, there is no basically value in our business to just keep them in the contract.
Right.
So that's why we really promote this idea of the trials. And I'm not sure like why it's not popular in the US at all. So even when we're buying some software for ourselves, we're like, oh yeah, first you have to pay like $20,000. We're like, well, maybe we can just try it for a few months first.
Right.
So
yeah.
So yeah.
No, and I totally agree with you. I mean, I've, like I said, I've done 300 some podcast recordings, and like, you know, all the shows that do well are the ones that say, hey, you know what, here's a couple months, 90 days. And I know you're offering a 3-month risk-free kind of pilot of your platform. I think it's exciting because then people actually get to see it actually working in real time. You still have your ad creative. You're still spending your money on Meta and Google and TikTok. That's all still happening. You still have to continue down that kind of journey, but you're also enriching the data that Meta is getting now. And knowing that, then there's going to be an improved lift in overall net conversion, especially top of funnel prospecting campaigns. So this is pretty awesome. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, maybe just not only with Meta. So, for example, Google recently released like a new like performance max type of campaigns. And we heard from customers with whom like speak with, they just like mentioned that, oh, like we're not happy with the performance max, like Google doesn't work, et cetera, et cetera. But you cannot really expect like this like great performance from performance max if you only provide this like one feedback signal for every 100 clicks. And this is like the idea is that even if you do not, like you will not eventually buy or try conversion modeling, we really suggest to at least consider sending micro conversions mm-hmm. back to your platforms, because it's still better than simply optimizing toward your like final purchase event.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's totally worth it. Yeah. I know that, you know, and as long as you activate this and document the date that that turned on and the pipeline is working to these channels, then, you know, there's going to be a measurable lift. It's very clear on that. So, well, Pavel, I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing all this information. I wish you continued success. It's very clear that, you know, Shopify is really on a mission to make commerce better for everyone. And I'd argue that, you know, you're also really are in tight alignment with Shopify, because you really do want to help brands to improve their marketing efficiencies and just grow revenue. So I think that's really amazing that you're able to do that. And that's kind of where you're putting your flag in the sand. So thanks a lot for coming on the show and sharing today.
Yeah. Thank you a lot for having me. It was great fun. Thank you.
All right. Have a great evening.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.